Grace and peace to you from the one who is, the one who was, and the one who is coming, the Alpha, the Omega, the Lord God Almighty. Welcome to worship this morning here at First Presbyterian Church. Invite you, if you're in person, to grab those pew pads, pass those down, take a look at the information in them, fill out your information, pass them back so we can see who all is meeting with us here today in this time and this space. As we get together today and gather to worship God, we lift up one another. We have a couple of new prayer requests. I want to lift up Lynn Melantine. His multiple melanoma is back. He is receiving some treatments on that. He's in good spirits, but we want to lift him and family up in prayer for healing for that. Also, we want to keep in our prayers Sue Baker's brother and his family as he passed away Saturday morning. So Steve Rohl passed away on Saturday morning. We want to continue to keep them in our prayers. Many different positive things, joys to share. We received enough money to be able to purchase some in-ear monitors, so thank you very much for your generous donations there. That we're testing those out this morning. Hopefully that helps out. And from one great hour of sharing fish derby, we have the totals in for just those little fish banks, those insignificant fish banks. I mean, how much can we get out of those little banks, right? $839.08 out of those fish banks. So that is awesome. Huge praise for all of that. There are additional funds that are coming in, either through the general offering, through Vanco, that will be added on top of that. So that's just the banks. Many different things coming up here in the next couple of months. It's a busy time of year, especially for anybody connected to anybody who has a youth. Next Sunday is Confirmation Sunday, so we're looking forward to our confirmands. They met with the session. The session gave them stamp of approval, interrogated them. They passed flying colors. It really wasn't as bad as the confirmands thought it was going to be. So they'll be confirmed next Sunday. On the 18th, we'll be recognizing all of our graduates, high school, college. So information has been sent out on all of that. If you have someone who's graduating, if you haven't gotten information, let us know in the office so we can get all the names there. There'll be a baccalaureate service again this year, and Fondy High has been the primary focus of it. We're making sure to open it up. Many of the churches here in the Fond du Lac area, part of Fond du Lac Area Ministerial Association, have families that come from dozens of different outlying school districts. So anyone who has a graduate, if you'd like to be a part of the baccalaureate service, we've moved it up. It's gotten too hard to get everything in place on graduation day. So this year we're going to try it on Wednesday evening, June 4th. So Wednesday evening, June 4th, 7 p.m., we'll be hosting right here. So invite you to come for that baccalaureate service. And if you have a high school graduate, they are definitely invited to be a part of that. At the end of the May 18th worship service, we will be having a congregational meeting to elect elders and deacons. So make sure you have that on your calendar as well. Many other things. Keep looking at newsletter. We'll be hosting Winnebago Presbytery meeting here on June 12th, getting plans started for that. We're looking for volunteers to help out in many different ways for that. So be looking at all of the information that's out there in the newsletter, Wednesday updates, and to be a part of all that God is doing here, in us, through us, among us, and even, as I like to say, in spite of us. God is at work doing mighty things. Let us worship God as the light of Christ is brought in and the bell is tolled. Thank you.
Please stand as you are able and join me in the responsive call to worship. Alleluia. Praise God in his holy house of worship. Praise him under the open skies. Praise him for his acts of power. Praise him for his magnificent greatness. Praise with a blast on the trumpet. Praise by strumming soft strings. Praise him with castanets and dance. Praise him with banjo and flute. Praise him with cymbals and a big bass drum. Praise him with fiddles and mandolin. Let every living, breathing creature praise God. Alleluia. God of Easter surprises, on this first day, the week we are drawn together by the power of your Holy Spirit, expecting to encounter your Son, the crucified and risen Lord Jesus. Breathe into our being your Spirit of mercy, preparing us to forgive one another and experience a life of uninhibited service and praise. Amen. When we keep our faults and failures locked safely away, we have no need to confess. But God comes into our hearts when we least expect, so we can be filled with forgiveness, with hope, with peace. Let us confess our sins. God of empty tombs and emptier people, when we hesitate to speak of your hope, forgive us and give us a voice. When we find it difficult to love one another, forgive us and give us fresh compassion. When we want to stand with the high and mighty, forgive us and seat us next to the poor and oppressed. When we stay locked behind our fears and doubts, forgive us and send us out to share your grace. When we cannot believe your word of new life, forgive us and fill us with your joy. Let us take a few moments to offer our personal silent confessions. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayers. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father sent me, so I am sending you." Then he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, they are forgiven. John 20, verses 21 through 23. By the authority of Jesus Christ, I declare that God has mercy on you, pardons you, and sets you free. Know that your sins are forgiven through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Thanks be to God. Amen. On the evening of Jesus' resurrection, while the disciples were behind closed doors, because they were afraid of the Jewish authorities, Jesus came and stood among them. Jesus said, "Peace be with you." Through the power of the resurrection, Jesus Christ is present with us, and so we offer forgiveness and restoration to one another in Jesus' name. The peace of Christ be with you,
and also with you.
Please take a few moments and share the peace of Christ with those around you. Today's first scripture reading, Acts 5, verses 27 through 32, gives us one of the many testimonies of God's mercy, allowing the message of the resurrection to not only be told, but to be lived out in joy. Listen for the word of the Lord. Bringing them back, they stood them before the high council. The chief priest said, "Didn't we give you strict orders not to teach in Jesus' name? And here you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching and are trying your best to blame us for the death of this man." Peter and the apostles answered, "It's necessary to obey God rather than men. The God of our ancestors raised up Jesus, the one you killed by hanging him on a cross. God set him on high at his side, Prince and Savior, to give Israel the gift of a changed life and sins forgiven. And we are witnesses to these things. The Holy Spirit, whom God gives to those who obey him, corroborates every detail."
Today's gospel reading is from John chapter 20, verses 19 through 31. It was still the first day of the week. That evening, while the disciples were behind closed doors because they were afraid of the Jewish authorities, Jesus came and stood among them. He said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. When his disciples saw the Lord, they were filled with joy. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father sent me, so I am sending you." Then he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, they are forgiven. If you don't forgive them, they aren't forgiven." Thomas, the one called Didymus, one of the 12, wasn't with the disciples when Jesus came. The other disciples told him, "We've seen the Lord." But he replied, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands, put my finger in the wounds left by the nails, and put my hand into his side, I won't believe." After 8 days, his disciples were again in a house, and Thomas was with them. Even though the doors were locked, Jesus entered and stood among them. He said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here. Look at my hands. Put your hand into my side. No more disbelief. Believe." Thomas responded to Jesus, "My Lord and my God." Jesus replied, "Do you believe because you see me? Happy are those who don't see and yet believe." Then Jesus did many other miraculous signs in his disciples' presence, signs that aren't recorded in this scroll. But these things are written so that you will believe that Jesus is the Christ, God's Son, and that believing, you will have life in his name. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
I'd like to invite the children to come forward. Good morning. So, Pastor just told us about the story. And have you ever had something where your whole family was at something, but you didn't get to go there, and they talked about it, and it was pretty cool? Maybe your brothers got to go to a fun thing, and you didn't get to go. And you're like, Sometimes we kind of feel left out a little bit, don't we? Well, Thomas was feeling that way. He was gone, and Jesus came, and he's like, What did he say? "Well, I don't really know about this story you're telling me here. I'm not going to believe until I get to see Jesus. I want to see those holes. I want to see Jesus. I want to hear him. I want to be there with him." So next time Jesus comes, who's there? Thomas. He gets to see him. Now, what do you think? Was Jesus kind of upset? "What's up? You didn't believe when you saw?" Nope, he didn't. He welcomed his questions. He welcomed him asking those questions, wanting to see, wanting to learn more. You know what? That makes me feel kind of good, because I don't know about you, but I have questions about God sometimes. I have lots of questions. And you know, I think if we asked everybody here, they have questions too. We all have questions for God. And Jesus, he looked at Thomas and he said, "It's okay that you have questions. Let's learn more. Let me help you out. I have some answers for you. I can show you some things," right? And that helps me to remember that too. When I have those questions, I can go to God and I can ask those questions of Jesus as well. So he asks his questions of Jesus, and Jesus says, "Here, let me show you. I've got these holes right here. This is me. I'm here. And we've got more big things for you to do," right? Well, Thomas believed because he got to see Jesus. Do we get to see Jesus? Just our Jesus up here, right? But we don't get to see him and touch him like Thomas did. But Jesus said, those people who can't see me, who aren't able to touch me, they're blessed because they can believe without seeing. And that's us, right? So next time you have some questions, that's the time you can go to mom and dad and say, "I don't understand this part. this is what it said in my Bible, and I don't understand that part. That's why we come here to worship, too. We come here to worship to learn more about God and to connect more with the stories and to know what God is asking of us. Jesus is asking us for our questions and says, I have those answers for you. Come to me and I will help you out. So let's take a little time and let's talk to God right now about some of those questions we might have. Loving and gracious God, we thank you so much for the life of Jesus. We believe in you and we trust in you even when we can't see you. Help us to not be afraid. Help us to remember that you are watching over us. We thank you for that Jesus loves our questions, that you love our questions, and that you ask us to, and urge us to find those answers through you. We pray for those people who have those big important questions and with that sometimes seem that they don't know what those answers may be, and those answers are hard to find, that they keep searching and looking to you to help you find those answers with them. We pray for ourselves and for all those questions that we have, and we ask that you would help us to find people in our lives that can help us learn more about you and more about your word and find those answers. We thank you for the love that you give us each and every day and for the gifts that you give us, and we ask that you would help us to share those gifts and that love with everyone that we meet. We pray all these things in Jesus' name, and all God's children said, Amen.
Let us pray. Gracious and almighty God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be pleasing and acceptable to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen.
Most of us have probably heard today's scripture reading within that heading of Doubting Thomas. That phrase, Doubting Thomas, has become familiar, even among those who don't believe in Jesus Christ. It's used in the secular world. Don't be a doubting Thomas. And this title, in some ways, makes sense, especially, you know, when you just take a look at today's gospel reading. John 20:25 says, the other disciples told him, we've seen the Lord, but he replied, unless I see
the marks in his hands, put my finger in his wounds, I'm not going to believe. Is this really doubt? Did Thomas really accuse the others of lying? Oh, no, you didn't see that. I'm not going to believe it. I don't believe you. You're lying to me. I don't think so. If you look up the word doubt, it means to have uncertainty, to lack conviction. Thomas seems to be the type of person who would very quickly call somebody's bluff, demanding that they give proof. Not someone who's going to be uncertain, not someone who lacks conviction. It's easy for us to go along with traditional interpretations of this doubting Thomas. But when this text is paired with the reading from Acts chapter 5, as it is in today's lectionary guide, when we hear it's necessary to obey God rather than men, I have to proclaim the truth of the gospel message, the full gospel message, not just what one verse says here in the midst of it all. Thomas seems to be the one with the least amount of doubt, the least amount of uncertainty or conviction. I mean, when we look back in chapter 11, we read that Thomas, he was that one disciple that when Jesus said he was going to Jerusalem to be crucified, he's like, I'm going with you. I'm right there with you. I'm going to die with you, Jesus. I sometimes wonder if he was a little bit sarcastic about that, saying, oh, yeah, sure, let's all just go right there into the lion's den, sure. But maybe Thomas was certain, and he was right there. In chapter 14, that Last Supper moment, when Jesus says, I am going to prepare a place for you, I think the majority of the disciples were all kind of looking at each other going, what's he mean? I don't get it. What? Where are we going? What? Thomas is the one who spoke his mind. Lord, we don't know where you're going. How can we know the way? Based on the Gospels of Mark and Luke, when we look at this post-resurrection situation, it's actually the rest of the disciples who are the true doubters. When you look at the end of Mark's gospel, there's actually two different endings to it. One ends in verse 8, and then there's another ending after that as well. But in that first ending, we read that Jesus appeared to Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome. They arrived very early at that empty tomb. And we're told that there was a young man in a white robe who told them Jesus of Nazareth has been raised and instructed them to go tell the other disciples, especially Peter. And what was their response here in Mark's gospel? Mark 16:8 says, overcome with terror and dread, they fled from the tomb. They said nothing to anyone because they were afraid. So maybe they didn't have some doubt, but that's really not a good ending to the gospel story, is it? It makes it sound like the women were doubters. Like they just said, okay, we're just going to be quiet. We're not going to do anything. But then when you look at that second ending, beginning with verse 9, it says, after Jesus rose up early on the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, from whom he had cast out seven demons. She went and reported to the ones who had been with him, who were mourning and weeping. But even after they heard the news, so she goes and she tells them in this ending, but even after they heard the news, they didn't believe that Jesus was alive and that Mary had seen him. That sounds like a whole bunch of doubters to me. And then continuing on in verse 12, after that, he appeared in a different form to two of them who were walking along in the countryside. Now, this might be Luke's version of the road to Emmaus walk, where the two disciples are walking along, and Luke says their face were downcast, which sounds like They were doubting, questioning, trying to figure out what was going on. And these two, when they returned after encountering Christ, they reported it to the others, but they didn't believe them. Finally, Jesus appeared to the 11 while they were eating, and Jesus criticized their unbelief and stubbornness because they didn't believe those who saw him after he was raised up. So right there in the 14th verse, we find out there's a whole bunch of doubters. Doubters that Jesus criticized. He called them out. It's like, shame on you. You wouldn't believe these people that were so close to you when they gave their testimony? In the end of Luke's gospel, Luke 24, tells us that when they returned from the tomb, this is Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, other women that were with them, they reported all these things to the 11 and the others. Their words struck the apostles as nonsense, and they didn't believe the women. All of these people didn't believe. Peter ran to the tomb. He took a look inside, and then he returned home wondering what had happened. Jesus had told them what was going to happen. So Peter, the rock, he had doubted. So why do we call Thomas doubting Thomas? As if all the other disciples, all the other apostles, everybody else, they all instantly believed. It's almost as if we try to let everybody else off the hook. When we read the fullness of Scripture, we see that everybody had questions. Everybody doubted. They didn't quite believe it. They couldn't believe it. See, here in John's gospel, the main point of John naming Thomas's demand to see the risen Jesus before he would believe, in order for him to have that full belief, wasn't so much about his doubt as it was about his deep faith, his trust in Jesus' words. This account of Thomas's response, it confirms for us the main point of the gospel. Belief in Jesus Christ gives us our adoption into God's holy family to become children of God, so that Christ can be the source of our abundant life that's intended by our Creator. When we read this passage in light of the whole of John's gospel, this idea of belief, we find at the beginning and the end of John's gospel. It's about belief. Those who did welcome him, we're told in that opening chapter, those who believed in his name, he authorized to become children of God. And here in John 20, we're told Jesus did many other signs, but these are written so that you will believe that Jesus is the Christ, God's Son, and that believing, you will have life in his name. As Peter proclaims in our reading from Acts chapter 5, the God of our ancestors raised up Jesus, the one you killed by hanging him on a cross. God sent him on high at his side, Prince and Savior, to give Israel the gift of a changed life and sins forgiven. And we are witnesses to these things. The Holy Spirit, whom God gives to those who obey him, corroborates every detail. Our lives need to show this gift of change and forgiveness. The manner in which we live out our lives, obeying God rather than giving in to the threats, the demands, the false teachings of human power. That is part of our witness. We're witnesses to the risen Christ. Our witness is not only in what we say that we believe. It's good to have doctrines, to have statements of faith, to be able to say, this is what I believe, this is why. But it's how we live our lives as well. We give witness to new life in many, many ways. could be as simple as giving blood to help others. As we're sitting there giving blood to be praying for whoever it is that's receiving this life-giving blood, that they would receive the true life that Christ offers them. It can be as simple as providing meals for the hungry, providing beds to those who are sleeping on the floor, which we'll be hearing about here after worship. It can be so many little things. Just providing a listening ear, accepting someone as they are, not judging them based on their outward actions that maybe you disagree with, but instead being able to look beyond that initial outward reaction that they're having and to say, what's happened in their life that's caused them to react in this way? How do we love the sinner and set aside the sin? As we embark on our Easter journey, 50-day journey of celebration, reflection, renewal, culminating as we celebrate Pentecost Sunday, we are called to remember that we are witnesses and to reflect on what that means. How might we name and set aside the expectations that the world puts on us as Christians, as Presbyterians, as First Presbyterian Church of Fond du Lac, Wisconsin? How do we live out a witness, a full expectation that's promised to those who believe? How do we ask those questions like Thomas did and to say, Scripture tells me this. I know this has to be true. I want to understand it. We are witnesses. We believe that Jesus is the Christ, God's Son, and that all who believe will have life, abundant life in His name. Yes, we are witnesses. May we live that life. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. As we respond to God's word, I invite Wendy to come up and to share a little bit about an upcoming blood drive, if you'd like to be able to offer a witness.
I'm here to share with you a chapter in my story involving giving blood. I started giving blood while I was in college, and when I graduated, I just didn't find time or take the opportunity to do it anymore. And then about 10 years ago, I just started, I'm like, I need to do something more giving, and it's something simple to do. So I got back into it, and I was donating every 8 weeks, because that's how often you can do it. And then all of a sudden, I started having problems where I was getting kind of lightheaded. My iron kind of dropped too low because I was giving a lot of blood and just not getting that all replaced. And talking to the staff, I figured out that I should take a multivitamin and got my iron levels up, and I haven't had a problem since. But, of course, life happens, and it went to the wayside about a year ago that I stopped giving blood again. And then I was contemplating, because, hey, it's right here at our church. How convenient. I can come in for an hour and probably do that. Maybe I should get back on board and do that again. And then Lori Christie presented last time about how it's very helpful for those who need blood transfusions that are taking cancer treatments. And one of my close friends had been diagnosed with breast cancer, and she ended up needing a blood transfusion. So I'm like, I'm supposed to do this. God is pointing me in this direction. So I came and I gave blood, and I also, of course, had been getting notifications that there's such a blood shortage because people got out of the habit when COVID came around, and there's just a, unfortunately, a drastic need for it. So on May 7th, Wednesday, next week, we are having a blood drive here again. It's between 1 and 5:30. And we are trying to have 20 people sign up each time. That's our goal. And let's fill the last 12 slots that are open for that time period. And if you can't give personally, if you can get the word out in the community to your friends, family, and have them come. Because that's how I kind of started, is not going to my local church because they didn't do it there. I went to other places, and if you don't get the word out, they don't know to come. So please consider doing it. Thanks.
This time I invite the ushers to come forward to gather God's tithes and our offerings. And as always, no matter what we place financially in these plates or give online, this is an opportunity for us to give our hearts back to God, to fully believe.
Loving God, you breathe life into our mortal bodies. You complete us and fill our every need. In our songs and in our words, we give praise to you, Lord, for all that you have done, for all that you have given to us. We worship you, beautiful Savior, with all that we have, all that we are. We offer you our thanks and our praise. Multiply these gifts to further your kingdom. Amen. You may be seated as I invite the loving team to come forward, taking an opportunity to offer thanks to many people, ways in which they volunteer and give of their time and service.
Okay. Good morning. We are the Loving Team. I'm Nancy, Deb, Wendy, Cheryl, and here comes Melissa. And Jolene's not here. She's out of town today. So today we want to take a few minutes to express our deepest gratitude to some very important, special people in our family, church family, our amazing volunteers. Week after week, you give your time, your hands, and your hearts in ways that often go unseen but are always felt. Whether it's providing treats, making coffee, setting up or cleaning up for fellowship time, organizing women in faith and men's breakfast events, assisting with funerals and weddings, reviewing church member roles to keep us connected and cared for, grieving books from Stephen Ministry to comfort those walking through sorrow, preparing welcome bags that extend warmth to newcomers, or celebrating confirmands and graduates with cards and yard signs. You are the living expression of God's love in action. When someone walks in for the first time and finds a welcome bag waiting for them, they feel seen. When a grieving heart receives a book that speaks to their pain, they feel understood. When we gather for coffee and conversation during fellowship time, we feel community, and it's all because of you. If you have volunteered to help the Loving Team in any way, please stand so we can recognize you. And don't be afraid to stand, because many of you have. Good. Thank you, Dave. I could see many more who have done. Thank you. That's right. Yes, let's clap for those who have done it and haven't acknowledged themselves. On behalf of our entire church, thank you for your time, your care, your faithfulness. You are truly a gift to this congregation, and may God bless you richly as you have been a blessing to us. Thank you.
Sitting with them, excuse me, sitting with them.
Easy for me to say.
Okay, there we go, a little better. Sitting with them during their last Loving Team meeting, they started putting together a list of all the names of who they were going to thank, and it just kept going and going and going and going. Finally, we all realized, you know what, there's really no way to do this. We'd be up here for hours and hours. So that's where they went with the categories. Loving Team does encompass so much. To be on Loving Team or Serving Team doesn't necessarily mean that you can't be doing all these other things. There are so many people. Part of the way that we've structured the church is so that everyone can be involved in some way and maybe not have to sit in on these boring committee meetings and but to be involved, to be living out our life of witness. We're in the midst of a process of researching and sorting through how do we really flesh that out as a church, as a gathered community, a household of ministry. How does that really work? Are there things that need to be tweaked and changed about it, or are there things that we just need to remind one another of again? As we go through this Easter season, we'll be taking a look deeper and deeper into the book of Acts and the early church and how the church was originally gathered together and how that might be lived out in today's world so that we can truly minister one to another and not look at ministry being the church through simply an institutional model, through a business type model, as so many times it is. How can we be the church? One of the best ways is, as the Loving Team talked about, all these ways of caring for one another, and the foundation of it all is prayer. I invite you to join with me as we offer prayers of our hearts to God, as we lift one another up in prayer. Almighty God, we give you thanks for an opportunity to be your people, to be the body of Christ, to be the church. Being the church in this day and age, in this place, this context, seems confusing at times. It seems bewildering. There are times that we have questions that we want to believe that what we're doing truly matters. Lord, allow our prayers to be like that of Thomas. Not that we're doubting, saying we don't believe, but doubting that you are truly at work in all your fullness, in us, through us, among us, in spite of us. Send your Spirit upon us and give us wisdom as we continue to be your people. Continue to bless us. Lord, connect us together, deepen our relationships with one another. As we lift up those who are battling cancer, disease, illness, those recovering from surgery, those who are grieving the loss of loved ones, those who are entering into times of uncertainty with jobs, those who are struggling with relationships that are strained, those that are trying to break free of addictions, with those that are confused. Lord, we all need your peace. We all need to know that you are present with us. Lord, hear the prayers of all our hearts. Send your Spirit upon us, that as we leave this place today, we leave this place stronger, stronger knowing that you are at work in us. Allow us to leave this place weaker in our own abilities, so that we might trust you more and more. Lord, hear our prayers as we join our voices together, praying the prayer that you taught. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who have sinned against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. I invite you to stand for our sending hymn, Rejoice, Ye Pure in Heart.
invite you following service to go into Fellowship Hall and enjoy some fellowship deepening relationships with one another, to go into the parlor and to learn more about sleep and heavenly peace, to go out into the world as witnesses. We have seen the Lord. Christ is risen. There is no fear, no doubt, only belief. There is life in Jesus' name. As God sent Jesus into the world, so the Spirit now sends us. We are witnesses to continue God's holy work. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.